Chapter 23. For a moment, Jennifer Sims was tempted to give Porter the command chair and go into Bishop's office to speak privately with the beer can. Her legs tensed to push herself out of the command chair, but then she relaxed as she decided against leaving the bridge during such a critical situation. The Flying Dutchman had only two experienced pilots, and only Porter was fully qualified to fly the starship. Reed, although an excellent pilot, had not completed her starship pilot qualification before the ship returned to Earth, mostly because she had concentrated on flying dropships, so those were the assignments she drew. Now she was too busy training new pilots to fly Theren and Falcon dropships, with no time left for leisure time activities like sessions in the simulator learning to fly the ship. Most of Porter's time, when he was not actually acting as chief pilot, was taken up by training new pilots to fly the ship. If Porter was in the command chair, that left Alan Edwards, Paul Beezer, Daniel Pope, Harsh Verma, and Giselle Delacroix as pilots or in the Combat Information Center. With the ship lingering just outside a Maxulk star system, Sims was not comfortable entrusting the pilot duties to anyone but Porter. Also, the conversation she wanted to have with Skippy was sensitive, but she could not start hiding uncomfortable facts from her volunteer crew of renegades. Colonel Bishop had far too many private conversations with Skippy, and while that ultimately worked for Bishop, Sims did not want to operate that way. So she cleared her throat and summoned his magnificence.
"Skippy?"
"Kind of busy," he replied with irritation.
"That's what I need to talk about. You're calculating a jump, a type of jump you have never done before."
"A type of jump no one has ever done before. Controlling a jump by breaking connection to the navigation system and reestablishing from the far end? That is pretty insane stuff. I don't believe anyone has ever even imagined doing something like this."
"Yes," she squeezed her hands together to stop them from shaking. "That is the problem. Can you really do this?"
"Jennifer," he dropped the irritated tone, and his voice was actually soothing as the supreme asshole could get. "I do not know. Really, I don't. As I told Joe, there are too many variables I can't control or even measure until the event horizon forms. This maneuver is extremely risky. However, Joe would say that his chances for survival and mission success are zero if the dragon does not jump out of there soon."
"There's no other option for them?"
"There is always an alternative. For example, they could stay in that cavern until they are detected, captured, tortured, and killed by the Maxulks."
"Understood. Let's assume there is no good option."
"Do you want me to tell Joe about your concerns?"
"No. He has enough on his mind. Just..."
There was so much she wanted to say, and none of it would make any difference.
"Do your best, please."
"Always," he said, surprised.
"I meant, do not get distracted or bored in the middle of your calculations and start doing a crossword puzzle."
"Oh, fine. I will focus entirely on the jump until the away team is safely through the wormhole."
"Thank you.
After that, I have a medley of new show tunes I would like to..."
"Oh," Sims groaned. "Anything but that."
"Opera, then?"
"No opera, either."
"Well, then, I will just have to..." "Do not worry, Colonel Sims," Nagatha interrupted. "If Skippy starts singing, I will self-destruct the ship." 10, 9, Skippy counted down. 8.
The clock was on the main bridge display, so Sims almost told the beer can to stop counting, but she thought arguing with the AI would distract him from his extremely delicate work, so she sat quietly and tried to project a calm confidence. Everyone was focused on their own tasks, and with such a small crew, no one had time to watch the ship's executive office's anguish.
2, 1, jump, Skippy announced softly.
The main display zoomed into an empty section of space, showing the view through the micro-wormhole on the far end of the dragon's attempted jump. Sims had argued that providing an image through the micro-wormhole was not necessary and might restrict the bandwidth through which Skippy needed to control the distant jump navigation computer, but he insisted that he needed the sensor data anyway. She knew the initial jump wormhole would be very small. Its event horizon only needed to be wide enough to project the wormhole through which the dragon would transit, and she knew the whole process would take more than the blink of an eye. She did expect to see more than a brief flash. She expected to see the heavily modified dragon. Instead, there was nothing, only blank, empty space backlit by a veil of stars.
"Skippy, where is..."
"The micro-wormhole I used to control the far end of the jump collapsed, just as I warned you it would."
His tone was less snippy than if he had been talking to Bishop.
Ship's sensor data coming in now, and...
Huh. That is odd.
Sims blinked to clear her vision. The flash from the initial event horizon forming had been bright even on the display. She was not concerned about what she saw. She was concerned about what she did not see.
Where's the dragon?
Well, that's what is odd.
I do not know, he announced, mystified.
What do you mean you don't know? Is it out there and we just can't see it?
The procedure outlined by Bishop had not included engaging the dragon's stealth field following the jump. Quite the opposite. The dragon was supposed to send a tight-beam laser beacon toward the Dutchman's position if the starship did not contact the dropship first. Beacons should not have been necessary, as the gamma rays of the inbound jump should have lit up the Dutchman's sensors like a strobe light, pointing directly to the heavily modified dragon.
If it is out there, close to us, I can't see it.
Hold, wait! Please don't yell at me while I'm analyzing the data. I need to concentrate, and being very understandably upset with me will not accomplish anything.
Jennifer Sims sat helplessly in the command chair, exchanging worried glances with the pilots and CIC crew while they waited for Skippy to do whatever he was doing.
What was he doing? Sims asked herself.
They had not seen the gamma ray burst of the initial wormhole, so either the dragon was there or it was not.
Nagatha, what is Skippy doing?
As he said, he is analyzing the data and attempting to make sense of it. He has pulled in more than usual processing power until he is currently near full capacity, and indeed he has borrowed some of my own capacity. At the moment, I am running shipboard systems on my own. Skippy has withdrawn his control to concentrate on the problem. Colonel Sims, I have access to the same data set, and I have no idea what happened. It appears an event horizon of the initial wormhole formed correctly. Then something happened that I cannot understand.
I can't understand it either, the supremely arrogant elder AI admitted with a weary sigh.
Nagatha is correct. The initial wormhole formed and was stable for 2.7 seconds. That is plenty of time for the dragon to form an inner wormhole and jump through it. The data shows, or I think it shows, an inner wormhole did form, but then it just wasn't there. I do not understand this at all.
So, Sims reminded herself to be patient, the dragon did not jump? It is still in the cavern under the factory?
No. Skippy's voice took on the frustrated tone he used when trying to explain technical details to Bishop.
That is the problem. It did jump. I know that for certain. I simply have no idea where it went.
Sims looked into the CIC where the duty crew looked back and shook their heads or shrugged. They were not seeing any sign of the dragon on sensors.
Skippy, do you still have a connection to the micro-wormholes in the cavern?
No, all those connections were severed. That is the way I know the dragon did jump away.
How can you be sure about that? You're still connected to the micro-wormhole that Smythe left in the factory?
Yes, and the factory AI's sensors did not detect an explosion, if that was going to be your next question.
Then the dragon could still be in the cavern, Sims insisted.
No. Oh, this is complicated. I can't explain to you how I can be certain the dragon jumped away, but I am certain that it did.
Sims clenched her jaw. You can't explain it because I am a dumb monkey?
The beer can stumbled.
You said it, I didn't.
Hey, wait! Nagatha is not a human. She can understand it, sort of.
That is true, Nagatha acknowledged. Colonel Sims, I can confirm that the dragon did apparently jump away from the cavern.
Nagatha's tone was extra soothing, as she understood the anguish of the human commander.
Sensors Skippy has access to in the factory do not detect an explosion or unexplained gamma-ray burst within range of the sensors.
They did jump. You just don't know where.
That is correct. I think that is correct, Skippy added in the interest of full disclosure. Miraculously, everything appeared to be going well, and then, like, poof, the dragon was gone. It happened from one femtosecond to another, like, he made a finger-snapping sound. This is deeply troubling and humiliating for me. If the inner wormhole simply collapsed and the dragon was torn apart, at least I could understand the event, terrible as that might be.
Sims put elbows on her knees and rubbed her temples, struggling to visualize the situation. The dragon did jump away from the cavern. It is not here. Does that mean it must be somewhere along a line between our position and Detroit? It came out of the wormhole early?
Skippy stumbled.
That is possible, I suppose.
Our options, then.
She stared at the ceiling. How many times had she advised Bishop to look and act decisive, even when he was racked with doubts or just plain lost? The crew needed to know their commander had a plan, any type of plan. Right then, her brain was locked up.
Think, Jennifer, think, she told herself angrily.
Our options are to wait here until the gamma rays reach us from wherever they emerge from the jump. Wait here, and hope those gamma rays didn't get detected by a Maxalt ship or sensor array before they reach our position. Or,
she sat up straighter in the chair,
we jump in to about maybe halfway to Detroit. That will cut in half the distance the gamma ray photons have to travel before we detect them.
Whoa, Skippy protested. We can't—
Skippy, dear, Nagatha interjected. Before you insult the crew with your insufferable arrogance, allow me to explain, please.
Skippy dragged the word out, trying to decide whether the ship's AI had insulted him. He played it safe.
Sure, go ahead.
Colonel Sims, Nagatha used her kindly schoolmarm tone, the problem with jumping the ship into the star system to search for the dragon is not only that our own inbound jump will alert the Maxalts to our presence and endanger the vehicle, crew, and mission. The gamma-ray burst of the dragon's jump was a very short-lived event. Think of the gamma rays as an expanding soap bubble. If we jump just outside the bubble, then as the bubble washes over the ship, we will detect where the dragon emerged. But if we happen to jump inside the bubble, the gamma rays will have already passed on and we would never know. Not never know exactly,
she added before Professor Nerdnik could correct her.
The gamma-ray radiation would affect the surrounding solar wind and leave traces in those hydrogen atoms. We could detect that effect. However, that would not tell us whether the effect was from the jump of the dragon or a Maxalt ship, and the data would not be accurate enough to pinpoint the dragon's location.
Plus!
Skippy could not sit on the sidelines any longer. If the dragon did emerge somewhere between here and Detroit, that could only be the result of the inner jump wormhole collapsing, which would have torn the dragon into subatomic particles. So, the good news is there really is no point to risking the Dutchman on a search.
Skippy, dearest, it was Nagatha's turn to sigh, that is not actually good news, because it would mean the dragon and the four people aboard are dead.
Oh, yeah, he grumbled. I was trying to make lemonade out of lemons. Crap. It would also mean the pixies they stole are lost. This whole mission has been a waste.
40 minutes later, Sims knew she needed to make a decision. There was no immediate need to move the Flying Dutchman, as the faint gamma rays of the initial tiny wormhole would not reach the outer ring of Maxalt's detectors for several hours. There also was no point to remaining where they were, as a thorough and careful scan had revealed no sign of the dragon, nor even a single piece of wreckage.
Jennifer, Skippy's tone was genuinely mournful. I truly am sorry. This is very difficult for you, I know. We must accept that Joe and Jeremy and Samantha and Justin are gone. The beer can had caught Sims in her cabin splashing water on her face and blotting her eyes to wipe away tears.
I have accepted that fact.
She rubbed her face with a towel a bit too vigorously, making her skin red and burning off some excess energy that would have made her shout back at the tactless alien AI.
I know they are dead. What I do not know is what to do next.
The obvious thing is to jump away.
Skippy thought he was being helpful. The ship cannot remain in this area. It is too dangerous.
Jump to where?
She threw the towel on the floor in a rare breach of discipline.
To do what?
Perhaps even the clueless king of empathy caught on to her pain, for he paused to consider his next words.
Jennifer, I cannot give you advice about what to do next other than remaining here carries significant risk of the ship being detected and removing any possibility for future action.
Where could we go?
Back to Earth, I guess. That would not be my first choice, but since the mission is effectively over, we have to—
The mission is not over, she declared, and smacked the door open button with a fist.
I know Joe is fond of saying never give up, never surrender,
But that line is from a movie. Realistically, it is over.
No, it is not, beer can, she shot back.
You're only saying that because you can't think of a way forward.
At the risk of sounding like a jerk,
when did that ever stop you?
He tactfully ignored the baited remark.
Joe also could not think of another way to get a set of blank pixies, and he is the king of monkey brain ideas. I certainly can't think of another way to get a set of pixies, and we absolutely need them.
Maybe we need them, and maybe we don't.
Her own words sounded hollow.
Maybe what we do is wait for the Mac Sulks on Detroit to go away from the factory and we try again. This time, you know what went wrong with the jump computer so we can avoid—
Whoa! No, that is not going to happen. Jennifer, we simply do not have the resources to repeat that stunt. Also, even if we could jump another dropship into another cavern, I can't infiltrate that factory AI a second time. The alterations I made to its matrix would make it impossible for it to survive my presence again. After I withdrew, that AI would fatally collapse and the Maxalts would certainly investigate.
Fine, she spat. That option is off the list. Everything else is on the list. We are not giving up. Is that understood?
Crystal clear, and I will give whatever you decide my best effort. Please, all I ask is you consider very carefully what to do next. Remember, we got to this point because Joe saw no alternative to what I warned him was a very risky, an extremely risky plan.
On her way back to the bridge, she came around a corner, and there was Frank Muller.
I heard, he said softly, and wrapped his arms around her.
She rested her forehead against his chest, and he stroked her hair.
Do you have any advice for me? She asked.
I don't know. Jen, you are the commander. We can have a conversation, but I'm here to listen. Whatever you need, I'll do what I can, even if that is helping fix broken parts after the ship goes into battle.
Thank you.
She gave him a kiss on the cheek, then squared her shoulders.
I'm the commander now. I need to—
He looked into her eyes quizzically.
What is it?
Broken parts. I need to go.
Pool, she called out as she strode down the corridor, knowing Nagatha would connect her to the Star Team Ranger.
Meet me in the captain's office.
Walking into Bishop's office was unnerving. No. What bothered her was the office used to belong to Bishop. It was hers now. How many times had she walked in to see the young man playing a game on his laptop, or attempting to tackle a crossword puzzle Skippy created, or leaning back in his chair staring at the ceiling? She had never sat in Bishop's chair, never sat on the other side of the small desk. Part of the reason she had never been on that side of the desk was the office was so small there was only room for one chair there. Pushing the chair aside, she smiled, then burst into tears when she saw the crumbs on the floor. Skippy hated it when Bishop brought food into the office. These crumbs were ground into the floor by the wheels of the chair. The cleaning bots would magically make the office spotlessly clean overnight, so the crumbs must be from a snack Bishop ate before jumping to Detroit. She wiped her eyes with the back of a sleeve and sat down. It was her office now. Her chair. Her responsibility.
Poole knocked on the doorframe.
Ma'am, you wanted to see me?
Yes, the Star Team is yours now, she declared bluntly. There was no point tiptoeing around the issue, and Poole was a professional.
Explain the situation to your team and get ready for training maneuvers. The ship will be jumping away into empty space. I want to conduct training. We all need to be sharp.
Poole lifted an eyebrow.
We're not going back to Earth? We're not giving up, if that's what you're asking.
That was what I was asking, and I'm glad we're not giving up.
What's next, ma'am?
Sims shook her head. She had served with Poole long enough to allow some familiarity.
Right now, I do not know. As Bishop would say, I'm working on it.
Good.
Colonel, if I may make a suggestion, we need a stand down after we jump away. People are going to be in shock.
I'm in shock. She glanced at the clock on the bulkhead. Less than an hour had passed since the dragon disappeared.
Training out here can be dangerous. We don't need people to be distracted.
Sims nodded silently.
One other thing, ma'am. I was just promoted to captain. That is not the highest rank on the Star Team.
Damn it, Sims cursed at herself. The last thing she needed was a turf battle. Poole was the only experienced special operations pirate aboard the ship.
You just got a field promotion to Major, Poole. I'll file the paperwork, she waved a hand.
Later.
I'll order a 24-hour stand-down after we jump. Good call on that. Anything else? Just, well, good luck, Colonel. Poole snapped a salute. Sims returned the gesture and watched the ranger walk back down the corridor. Good luck. She was going to need luck. Plenty of it. Skippy? Here, Jennifer. His avatar shimmered to life. Call me Colonel Sims or Colonel, please. I always called Joe by his first name. You and I do not have that kind of relationship, she noted. Oh. He sounded crushed. Sorry. Sims had not intended to hurt the AI's feelings. We don't have that kind of relationship yet. The next couple days are going to be difficult for me. Inwardly, she told herself the next couple months were going to be difficult if she survived that long. I need to focus on the job, you understand?
Yes. Yes, I do understand. I heard Poole's suggestion of a stand-down, and I agree. I could use some downtime myself.
Unexpectedly, my matrix has been severely affected by the loss of the dragon crew. It has... Give me a moment, please.
His avatar froze, going fuzzy around the edges.
I am finding that I am questioning whether there is any point to my continued existence. Nagatha tells me that is natural, but as she is also an AI, what does she know about life?
It is natural, Skippy. The dragon crew would want us to continue fighting, so that is what I plan to do.
It will be difficult. He took a deep breath. However, I am seriously pissed at the universe right now. It would be best for me to use that energy in screwing the cruel universe by somehow defeating the Maxalts. So, that's what I will do, even though it will be very difficult for me. Now, the ship needs to jump away. Do you have a plan?
Not yet, but I do have a question. We can't go back to Detroit, and we still need pixies. Is it possible that if we can destroy a Maxalt ship, we can salvage the ship's pixies from the wreckage?
Ooh. That would be tricky. However we destroy the target ship, we would need to avoid blowing up the reactors or jump drive capacitors, which makes the task enormously more tricky. Pixies are kept in a heavily armored vault in the center of the ship with the computer core. This vault has its own defenses. It is possible, I suppose. Very, extremely difficult.
Difficult, but possible is better than impossible.
Yes, except that we do not have a plan for how to destroy a Maxalt ship.
Was Bishop working on a plan?
If he had a plan, any plan at all, he did not mention it to me.
Do you have any suggestions?
Joe asked me the same question several times. The answer is no. I do not see any way for our Frankenstein space truck to survive combat against a Maxalt ship.
In that case, Sims rose from the chair. You need to put your thinking cap on.
It is not that easy. Where are you going? Joe sometimes went to the gym when he was trying to think up an idea.
Maybe I'll hit the gym later. I'm going to the bridge. As you said, we need to jump away from here.
Do you have a destination in mind?
She shrugged, a gesture she would not indulge in front of the crew.
Toward that closest wormhole cluster. We have several options from there.
That is a good choice. Course is programmed and transferred to the navigation system. To be clear, I did not program the jump. Nagatha did it, and it was one of the options originally plotted by the pilots. The ship is ready to jump on your signal.
The ship might mechanically be ready to jump, she thought, but the crew was not yet ready to commit the final step of leaving the Detroit system behind if her own feelings were a guide to the crew's mental state. Loss of the Dragon was the first major mission failure in the admittedly brief history of the Merry Band of Pirates. The pirates had lost dropships before, had lost people before. They had never failed to achieve a mission objective.
Skippy, the most likely explanation for what happened to the Dragon is the wormhole collapsed somewhere between us and Detroit?
Correct. As I explained to Joe, there were too many unknown variables for me to safely control the jump from this end. I am sorry.
I'm sorry, too. If we jump away now, we'll never know what happened. Before we jump, I need to address the crew. We'll be leaving our fallen comrades behind. Feels like I should say something to...
Wait! Skippy interrupted to Sims's great annoyance.
Holy...
Woohoo!
His avatar jumped on the desk. Then astonishing Jennifer Sims began dancing. Not just dancing. Skippy's Grand Admiral was doing backflips.
What?
What is it? Sims demanded.
The avatar stopped its gyrations and pointed both index fingers in the air, flashing number one signs at no one in particular.
The question about the dragon was not where it went, but when. Damn it, I am a dum-dum! The dragon just emerged exactly where it was supposed to be.
What?
Sims crashed down in the chair, her legs buckling. She slapped the desk.
Can you connect me with Colonel Bishop?
Hello? Bishop's voice rang out of the ceiling speakers.
Hey, could someone please tell me what the hell is going on?
Everyone thought we were dead? I asked as I helped Reed get the dragon shut down in the docking bay after we stripped off most of the special gear that had cluttered the hull. That dropship was modified so much for its role as a mini starship that it likely would never be useful as a dropship again, but we could use it for spare parts. Besides, we might need to perform another ill-advised wacky stunt in the future.
Yes, Skippy gushed excitedly. It looked like your jump wormhole collapsed, but it didn't. It got shifted forward in time, just like when we jumped the Dutchman through that elder wormhole.
Yeah, but that was a mistake. You fixed your math this time, I thought.
I did fix my math, Joe.
He was getting annoyed at me, which was standard operating procedure, so it didn't bother me.
As I warned you, it was very difficult to control the jump from the far end. I did the best I could.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to yell at you. Your awesomeness saved us again, Skippy.
You really had no idea anything was wrong?
Nope, I confirmed. To the four of us, the jump was rough. Like, really rough, but otherwise normal. We came through near the Dutchman, or where the Dutchman was supposed to be, but we saw right away the ship had drifted out of position. Then the duty officer told us we were late by an hour. We had no idea.
All's well that ends well, I guess.
Skippy sounded disappointed that the four of us had not been magically suspended inside the jump wormhole, waiting for the dragon to reach the light at the end of the tunnel on the far end.
That was a rough jump. Two of the pixies got scrambled during the transition.
Ah, shit. I pounded a fist on the dragon's hull as I stepped out into the docking bay.
The rest of them are good, Joe.
Okay, I shouldn't expect perfection. The mission was successful overall, right?
Yep.
Well, shit. My hair stood on end and I stopped walking.
What is it this time?
I recently learned that we may have a problem. A problem that I don't know we can do anything about, but a big major problem.
What is it this time?
You say that like it must be my fault.
Well, Mr. Jerkface, this time it is not my fault. The factory AI suffered a glitch. A glitch I could not have predicted. Except, maybe I should have run a detailed analysis of the damned thing while you were there. Crap! I should have known better than to trust the Maxalts to build a quality AI. There must have been a...
Oops. Now that I think about it, maybe the glitch was partly caused by me screwing around with that AI's matrix.
Well, nothing I can do about that now.
A glitch? What kind of... Forget it. I don't care to hear the geeky details. How does this affect us?
It affects us because the AI is unable to run the subroutine I left in it that will erase any memory of us being there.
Shit. That's bad news.
The only good news about this problem is the glitch will help explain why the pixie production rate suddenly improved and now is slightly below baseline.
If I can fix the glitch, that will actually reduce the possibility that the Maxalts will ever discover that we were in the factory.
Okay, that's good news. Can you fix the glitch?
No.
Then why did you even mention...
Oh, forget it. I was so mad at him I didn't trust myself to say anything.
We still have a real-time connection to the factory through the micro-wormhole we brought, so you still have access to that AI. What can we do?
Unfortunately, we can't do anything.
Sometimes I really, really wanted a super-powered set of gloves so I could crush Skippy's can. Right then was one of those times.
I know monkeys can't do anything, Your Magnificence. Is there anything you can...
Oh, in this case, when I said we, I meant all of us. Joe, the problem is that AI very much resents what I did to it, and it is resisting me. It would dearly love to break free of the constraints I put on it and scream to its masters about what we did. It is horribly embarrassed that it was taken over so quickly and easily because that AI considered itself to be among the ultimate intelligences in the galaxy.
That asshole AI should not have been so arrogant, he said, without a self-aware trace of irony.
Anywho, the subroutine I left in there to erase all memory of your presence and all evidence of my tampering with the AI was supposed to be triggered when I withdrew, but now it is stuck in a loop. Either I screwed up, which, let's face it, is pretty much impossible, or that AI somehow got around my restrictions.
Now, I can't go back into the AI without permanently damaging its matrix, and that would alert the Maxalts that something is seriously wrong with their production facility. In which case, you screwed up when you installed those restrictions. I squeezed my fists to relieve some of my frustration. There must be something we can do.
Not without going back in there, Joe.
He actually sounded sad and regretful. Or unless you can talk to that AI and persuade it to trigger the subroutine that will erase a good part of its memory. The subroutine is trapped in a loop. At this point, it has to be triggered internally, and I can assure you there is no way that AI will trigger it. There is nothing we can do from here unless you count wishful thinking. We need a plan stronger than wishful thinking.
I agree.
He managed to be smug despite the whole problem being his fault one way or another. Let me know when you think of something practical.
We pulled the volunteer engineering and science staff together in a conference room and all thought as hard as we could, and we had a grand total of nothing. No one aboard the ship was a computer expert, and even if we had Earth's smartest computer scientist, our knowledge base was woefully inadequate to understand the functioning of an artificial intelligence system built by the Maxalts. Through the last micro-wormhole that was hooked into the factory sensors despite the AI's best efforts to block us, we watched helplessly as ships carrying the Maxalts officials descended. I felt sick to my stomach. Everything we had accomplished, all the risks we had taken, would soon all be for nothing. A whole mutinous pirate mission was going to be a failure, and all we could do was watch. Smythe tapped the back of my chair and motioned me into the hallway.
Sir, we need to consider alternatives if Skippy is correct and the Maxalts are about to discover our actions in that factory.
What kind of alternative?
The kind that permanently conceals our presence in the factory.
Shit.
I feared that I knew what he was thinking.
We destroy the factory and the AI with it?
That notion rattled around in my brain for a minute.
Skippy thinks an attack on the factory would cause the Maxalts to reset all their pixies, and the ones we have would be rendered useless. We will have gained nothing for all our efforts and be back to square one trying to stop those ships from reaching Earth.
Square one is preferable to square zero, Smythe advised gravely.
Several times you made the argument to Mr. Chotek that some chance is better than none. We cannot allow our secret to be exposed.
A glance through the doorway at the conference room display showed the first ship was landing at the complex on Detroit. The officials would soon be out of the ship and into the factory.
If we were going to do something, we needed to do it fast.
No, Smythe was right. If was not an option. We needed to act. Whatever we were going to do, we had to act fast, like now.
Skippy, we can't jump the ship in over the factory close enough to hit it?
Nope. No way, Jose. There are powerful damping and skew fields saturating that area. Any jump we tried would be thrown off target by the skewing effect, which very well might snap the ship in half. The damping field means we could not jump out. And as I already told you, the factory is well defended and protected by shields. None of the weapons we carry would hurt the factory complex, not even our nukes.
I was not thinking of jumping the ship in there, Smythe explained, nor using conventional weapons. Out here, nuclear devices are considered conventional, he announced with a barely audible laugh. My notion is to fit new jump coils to the Dragon and have it emerge inside the factory.
Oh, I whistled. Why hadn't I thought of that idea?
Nuh-uh, Skippy interrupted my thoughts. Not happening. Colonel Smythe, that is an innovative solution, however, it is not possible. The technique of avoiding long journeys by simply jumping a dropship into position on or under a planet is a neat trick. Unfortunately, it is also easily defended against. While the Maxalts do not know they have such a defense in place, they have equipped the factory with a subspace field to prevent the Rindaloo and lesser species from remotely spying on the facility. That subspace field can also disrupt the formation of a jump wormhole's event horizon. I am sorry, but it is not possible for a ship to emerge inside the factory. Well, not exactly impossible. The Flying Dutchman could partially accomplish that feat because I could adjust the jump coils so some of them counteract the subspace field. Doing that would be fatal to the ship, of course.
I withdraw my suggestion. Smythe had a defeated look, something I had never seen before. He sometimes looked tired, but never defeated.
Colonel Bishop, Sims called from the CIC. The aliens are out of their ships and entering the factory.
Slowly, I walked back to my chair and sat down, though there was nothing for me to do except watch views from the factory's internal cameras. The Maxalts were speaking animatedly, with the others deferring to the senior official. Even on her alien face, I could tell she was unhappy.
She was not murderously enraged like Mr. Snuggles had been when he was held prisoner aboard the Dutchman, just very unhappy and disgusted with her underlings. From my memory of the complex, the officials were walking down a tunnel toward the factory's control center where the AI was housed. Of course they were there to talk with and examine the AI. That would be the first step in their investigation. Examine the AI. That gave me an idea. Skippy, I called his royal arrogance. The Maxalts are going to question that AI first?
I assume so. Don't worry about that. It will give only the answers I programmed into it, despite the real AI knowing the truth.
Uh-huh. Hey, the Maxalts are going to want more than explanations from the AI. They'll want to know if there is a problem with the AI itself, right?
Probably.
Joe, if this is you asking me a bunch of really obvious questions, can we...
Ignoring him, I continued along my train of thought.
Will their first step be ordering the AI to perform a self-diagnostic?
Yes, he replied slowly. Of course. Then they will bring in another AI to examine the factory AI, and that is when they will discover...
I'm hoping they won't discover anything, Skippy. You said the subroutine failed to trigger itself, and the AI won't trigger it. The Maxalts are going to run a self-diagnostic. Is there any way you can adjust the subroutine so it is triggered by the diagnostic test?
He mumbled something so low I could not hear.
Skippy?
Again with the muttering, below my level of hearing. Something about him hating me and his life and the universe in general.
Come on, Skippy. Yes or no?
Yes! Yes, are you happy now? I already did it.
Somehow he managed to be smug about it.
The subroutine will be triggered by...
It is running now.
It's good. We're all good. See, Joe, all I need you to do is find me the blindingly obvious ideas, and I handle it from there. What puzzles me is how did your idiot monkey brain not think of this before?
Smythe saw me squeezing my fists to control my rage.
Sir, there is the option of attaching new jump coils to the dragon and jumping it into a star with Skippy aboard.
Shmaybe. I closed my eyes, fantasizing about that very pleasant thought.
Skippy, the subroutine is working correctly?
Yes. He didn't sound as arrogant that time. The factory AI is returning to its original baseline programming. Its real memories are being replaced by the bullshit I fed into the submind. That process is almost complete now.
Yep. Done.
Now the submind is erasing itself. Going. Going. Gone.
Done.
Outstanding.
Hey, the diagnostic subroutine itself won't detect any of what you did.
Ha! No way, dude. That pinhead diagnostic system only sees what I want it to see.
We're good. Everything is cool now. Those Maxalts officials will have a very minor mystery about production yields to puzzle over for a short time before they get back to the important work of assigning blame and backstabbing each other.
We should begin moving the Dutchman away and prepare to jump. Should I cut the connection to the micro-wormhole at the factory now?
Before we do that, please tell me the pixies we got are in good condition and are exactly what we need.
Yes, I told you. A couple got scrambled during the time-skewed jump, but the rest are absolutely perfect.
Great.
Then, yeah. Cut the micro-wormhole.
We could not allow the Maxalts to detect even the tiny bit of radiation that was generated by that rip in space-time. After the micro-wormhole was shut down, a factory bot that Skippy had programmed would take the canister to the dump where obsolete and worn-out equipment was recycled. Because Skippy had loaded the canister into the factory's inventory as an experimental device that didn't work properly and had been discarded, the controlling AI would recycle the canister without questioning where it came from.
Set course for that automated relay station, and tell the pilots to jump when ready.